Vaso. This morning we return to the meditative cultivation of mudita. Mudita literally means simply joy. But of course it has a connotation of empathetic joy. And as we've done with loving kindness and with compassion, I would like to start, perhaps in a little bit odd fashion, empathetic joy with respect to ourselves. Maybe it's not all that odd when we consider that in the Buddhist understanding, anyway, there's no person who's as some immutable entity who is moving through time. You're not the same person. There's actually nothing in common in terms of moving through time between now and yesterday or 10 years ago. So when you reflect back upon your previous incarnations in this life, you know, like a minute ago, you can have empathetic joy for that person, you know, who died about, 59 seconds ago and was reborn very quickly. You know? And so in that regard, as we look back upon our own lives, we can raise the question of what shall we take delight? For what shall we feel gratitude or take satisfaction? As I continue to hear your reports of your experiences over the past week, from week to week, oh, it often sounds like a person coming home from the office and say, "Honey, I'm home. How did it go? How did it go at the office?" It was a pretty good day. Ups and downs. So yeah, you have your office and you come in. You don't say honey to me, but that's okay. But how did your week go? Up and down. Pretty good week. Up and down. Not such a good week. So certainly one can take a hedonic evaluation of meditation in terms of meditation. What have you done for me recently? You know, how is it? What have you given me? What have you given me? And then you report on what meditation delivered up to you. So you'll recall Lirab Lingba in his one-page account of this practice, settling the mind in this natural state, says, do not take a short-sighted view of meditation. So as for meditation, so for life in general, one way of kind of attending to and evaluating what's going on in one's life is to simply see what's being dished up. Was it pleasant or unpleasant? Did the session turn out well? Did the session not turn out well? Did it please you? Did it not please you? And then you report to make it please you more. That's my job, I guess, to make it please you more. So I understand that. But this clearly is a hedonic evaluation from the level of coarse mind. And if we broaden this out to reality as a whole, if we look at, you know, year by year of our lives, we say, how did that year go? Tough year. Well, that was a pretty good year. That was a weird year. Oh, that was a good year. Oh, those 3 years were really shitty. I'm sorry. Bad. You know? This is what people say in the world. You know, how did it go? You know, that's life. Sometimes it's good, sometimes bad. What can you do? So there's kind of like just the ordinary, mundane, hedonic evaluation of what's going on. To the same circumstances, the same events rising up to meet us, if we view this from kind of a very traditional Buddhist perspective, let's say a ground floor Buddhist perspective, Shravakayana, for the pursuit of liberation. Relating this to the fourth immeasurable, equanimity, you might recall, the real core theme there is just meaning that equanimity, that imperturbability, that whatever comes up, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, is a maturation of your own karma. So don't blame somebody else. There's no God out there, no Buddha out there who's doing it to you. And even though other human beings and circumstances are the agents for the maturation of your own karma, bottom line, as you sow, so shall you reap. What you're giving out, you're getting back. It's a core theme of karma. And so in that regard, the Shravakayana perspective here is just take it all in stride. Whatever's coming up, pleasant or unpleasant, maturation of karma, when it's rotten karma maturing, ripening, say, good, let's get that one out of the way. And just take it in stride. Something really pleasant happens, cool, nice karma's ripening. Take it all in stride. So kind of an equanimity all the way through. Whatever's coming up, I sowed the seeds, now I'm getting the fruit. And if I don't like the bitter fruit, then I think I better stop sowing the bitter seeds. So there's one approach. Makes sense. It gives more coherence, perhaps more meaning than feeling that we're just living in a world where things randomly happen. Some people are lucky, some people are unlucky. But when we go to the Mahayana level of practice, including both the teachings on emptiness as well as bodhicitta, the lojong, the mind training, then we probe a bit more deeply than that, rather than taking things so much at face value, like this was really pleasant, this was unpleasant, this was felicity, this was adversity, as if they're inherently existent, as if all objectively they're delivered up, packaged, this sucks, this is really nice, eat it. No? Well, to look at that more closely and say, well, what is it that makes adversity adversity? What is it that makes felicity felicity? And to recognize it's not simply an objectively given, that it's how we experience it, how we view it, how we interpret it, that really determines how it is experienced. And so, in that regard, the whole genre of practice, lojong, the core theme of which is to transmute everything that comes up into nourishment, food, assistance for your spiritual path. So even if it's unpleasant, you say, okay, I can work with this and transmute it to something really helpful. Some adversity arises, transmute that into compassion. Adversity arises, transmute it into developing stronger renunciation, a more authentic motivation for finding happiness. Felicity happens, transmuting that into gratitude, transmuting it into something even more meaningful. So the cliche there that we get in just popular English is turn lemons into lemonade. Something really sour comes up, turn it into something that's kind of nice, right? By your shift of your own attitude. So in that regard then, one can actually be grateful for more. Because you can say, well, other people might look upon this when it happened to me. Other people outside may say, oh, poor you, what adversity. But from my perspective, being in the center of my mandala, it was not adversity because I chose not to view it in that way, to transmute it into something very meaningful. So in fact, while other people may be feeling sorry for me, because for them, if this were to happen to them, it would just be flat out adversity. For me, having transmuted it, gratitude. Oh, this was very helpful. This deepened my sense of commitment to Dharma, motivation for liberation, deepening compassion, and so forth. Seeing the need for real Dharma practice. And so there's a transmutation there that one can be grateful for more, taking satisfaction in more, both during so-called good times and bad times. So there's that Mahayana level, really core Mahayana practice. Then we can view it from, oh, why not? Dzogchen, or Vajrayana in general, Dzogchen in particular. But this really takes wisdom. The previous one takes intelligence and insight. Intelligence to see how can we shift our perspective, really change our worldview, our way of viewing what happens to us, and not just take everything as objectively given. This was happy, this was unhappy, but transmuting. So becoming an alchemist of your life, transmuting your whole life into an elixir that nourishes you on the path to liberation, to enlightenment. But go down to Dzogchen. Go down to the level of pristine awareness. And one sees then that the lojong training of actively reviewing phenomena, seeing them in ways that can be constructive, molding, shaping one's experiences by getting in there with the insight of emptiness, the motivation of compassion, wanting to transmute all of this into enlightenment for the sake of all beings. From the perspective of Rigpa, much deeper question is, or maybe it's answered without being asked. And that is from that perspective. And now I speak from deep faith. You don't have to accept anything I'm saying, of course. I think it goes without saying, right? But from this perspective, with very deep faith, intuitive faith, not a faith in some doctrine, some dogma outside, but from inside. Seeing, experiencing all phenomena arising as expressions of compassion of all the Buddhas, for you. Now this is like a very sharp knife. If you use it wrongly, you just cut yourself. The way to cut yourself is to think, oh, whatever happens in the world is all for the good. So civil wars and famine and pestilence and child abuse and so forth. Oh, but it's all good. It's all good. Well, that's just screaming crazy. Right? Just screaming crazy. So not that. Not that. But you being in the center of your own mandala, you being in the center of your world, insofar as, here's a gradient, insofar as your priorities, your view, are all just getting oriented, lined up like iron filings, lined up towards enlightenment. And more deeply viewing reality, not just from the coarse mind, from the subtle mind, from the substrate consciousness, not just from the substrate consciousness, but allowing even that to melt into pristine awareness, then one may view all phenomena as an ongoing flow of expressions of your own appearances, every single moment, leading on to enlightenment. In other words, just an ongoing flow of gratitude, an ongoing flow arising for me in the center of my mandala. All this is good. To transmute, to purify, to unveil, so that I can awaken and I can offer back the greatest possible. So in that regard, when it comes to mudita, it's homogeneous. It's homogeneous at all times, no matter what happens. Viewing it from that perspective, getting to the one taste of samsara and nirvana, the one taste of adversity and felicity, it's all good. And just an ongoing flow of gratitude. So, that takes some wisdom. That takes some wisdom. But I think we can see a little microcosm of this in the practice of settling the mind in this natural state. On this point, I'll stop. And that is, what's your motivation? Are you just hanging out there because there's nothing else to do, watching your thoughts instead of clouds? Or are you watching your thoughts and emotions, images, and so forth? Are you doing this practice for hours a day with the aspiration to achieve shamatha, to further open your awareness to insight and nature of reality, to fathom the ultimate dimension of your awareness, to bring forth the full creative power, compassion, wisdom of your own Buddha nature? Is this why you're settling the mind in its natural state? If so, then, as you're settling in, whatever comes up, including awful memories at night, nightmares during the daytime, emotions, thoughts, all kinds of stuff coming up, you see, this is the path. And you're taking delight, taking satisfaction. This is called knowing the mind. This is called dredging the mind. This is called unobscuring your substrate consciousness. This is called seeing, knowing the nature of substrate consciousness. And insofar as you can cultivate the habit, the trait, of viewing everything that comes up and settling the mind in its natural state, pleasant, unpleasant, boring, interesting, whatever it may be, all as one taste, without aversion, without craving, or without attachment of any kind, just being totally present with whatever comes up, that will be the fast track for your mind to dissolve into substrate consciousness, and you'll already be warmed up so that when your mind dissolves into substrate consciousness, you're experiencing bliss, luminosity, non-conceptuality, that you'll maintain still that one taste and viewing these experiences arising, and even there not cling, in which case you may be able to release once again and your awareness just come to know its own face. So that's a path of mudita. Like the whole path is in there, in the third immeasurable, mudita. It's the whole package. So let's practice. Find a comfortable position. Settle your body, speech, and mind in the natural state. then turning to the meditative cultivation of empathetic joy, delight, gratitude, appreciation. Direct your attention to your own past, this time not necessarily in a chronological order, going back to early childhood and moving through time. Directing your attention where you wish, but focusing first of all outwards, to those people that you've encountered over your life, who've enriched your life in various ways. For many, this will be hedonic, providing you with education, with food, nourishment, companionship, protection, medical care, and so on. Attend to the kindnesses of others shown towards you. And with each out-breath, breathe out this appreciation, this delight, the gratitude. Attend to those who have enriched your life in terms of genuine happiness, eudaimonically, in terms of enriching your understanding, your insight, guiding you, assisting you along the path of your own spiritual awakening. with a deepening of insight, attend to those who have assisted you along your path to awakening. Perhaps not with explicit acts of kindness, perhaps difficult encounters, challenging ones, once it felt unpleasant, but from which you learned, you grew, you matured. Whatever their motivation, you can attend to such individuals once again with a sense of gratitude. Eventually broadening out to gratitude for all the appearances that rise up to meet you. Then turn your attention inwards. To what you have brought to your life. Outwardly, especially in terms of ethics. Have you brought any good to the world? Been of any service to anyone over the course of your life? As you breathe out, take delight in all the virtue, all the good you brought to the world. Take delight in your own cultivation of the inner causes of well-being. Your cultivation of mental balance, the virtues of the heart. Delight in your own cultivation of wisdom, your exploration of the nature of the mind, your probing into the very nature of your own identity. overall, insofar as you are aware of the authenticity and the goodness of your practice. Take delight in it and inspire yourself along the path. Then release all appearances and release your own mind. Releasing all grasping. Let your awareness descend to the substrate consciousness, which is of the very nature of delight and joy. So, as we continue practicing, ask not what your meditation can do for you, but what you can do for your meditation. And enjoy your day. See you later.